We did, yeah. Now we're holding on Kapalofum and Bays. Holding on Stalinum and Bays, three lines from the bottom.
Kapalofum and Bays?
Yeah, three lines from the bottom.
Three lines from the bottom.
Okay. We left off, we started discussing yesterday the idea there's two basic ways that a chacham can be master and neder. And when we say a chacham here, we mean either one chacham who has smicha, who the yachid mumcha is called, or based in a three. And that concept we'll get to later on in the Masechta. But there's two basic ways. They're called charata and pesach. Charata is where the person says, I regret ever having made this neder in the first place. Pesach is when he says that I didn't realize that there's going to be there's a certain consequence of it, which I didn't realize at the time. It needed to be something which existed all along, but it didn't occur to him that it's going to happen. Or it could be something that came up, but it would have to be something, we'll discuss this today and more tomorrow, that it would have to be something, if you're going to use a Pesach, it can't be something that came up that would have been completely unexpected, completely out of left field. It has to be something that you could reasonably have foreseen that this is going to happen. So we started discussing the question yesterday, can you in fact use charata? And there was a machlokes amaroyim and a machlokes tanoim on that topic, whether priests can be charata or not, whether you're able to use charata as a basis for canceling a nether, or whether you daven need a pesach. Well, that's what we're saying. There is a difference. Charata is you saying it's not that there's any specific thing. It's in general, I regret that I ever made this nether. I was angry at the time, I was upset, whatever. I shouldn't have made that nether in the first place. As opposed to a pesach is more like, okay, I made the nether. I'm fine with the fact that I made the nether, but I didn't realize there were going to be certain consequences of it. So pesach is the Ran explained the pesach is a better thing. A pesach is a better thing because you're saying that I made the neder with full realization, but there's a certain detail that I didn't realize. So that's what we're discussing. We left yesterday. We said there was a siman in the Gemara of four amaroyim. Asi, Elazar, Yerchanan, and Yanai. So four amaroyim. That we had two cases yesterday. Where one involving Rav Asi, one involving Rav Elazar, where people came to be Matir Neder, and they used the idea of Charata. Rav Asi had said to the person, "Do you really regret that you ever made this Neder?" And he said, "Yes." And Rav Elazar said, "Did you really want to make this Neder?" And he said, "No, I don't. If they hadn't made me upset, I wouldn't have made it in the first place." Now we're going to have the other two, which is more matter of Pesach. There was a woman who made a neder who after her daughter from having hanah from her. And later on she came to Rav Yechanan to be matzah neder. Now if you had known that your neighbors, megertach means your neighbors, moshem megorach beta, if you wouldn't have known at the time that your neighbors are going to say Allah debrata on your daughter, you know what? This daughter must be a terrible person. Even like Hamas Ba'ima Milan Daziva, if her mother had not seen in her things that either Daziva means abandoned. So Rashi says it means things that are better off abandoned and not talked about, meaning things that is nuts or whatever. The Ram says it means rather things that make a person deserve to be abandoned. So either way, Bichdi La Yadarta. Well, in other words, the same kind of thing, that she would have done something, some kind of terrible thing, that you would think. Maybe that's there for, either way, whether you explain according to Rashi or according to Ram, the point is, did you realize that the neighbors are going to say, that the neighbors aren't going to think that you got mad? They're going to say, you know what, your daughter must be a terrible person. And no wonder her mother is preventing her from having hanah. This is the loya darta. She wouldn't have made her neder on her for nothing. Obviously, the daughter must have been doing something really bad. If you had known that, miyadarta, would you have made her such a neder? Now, this is an example of pesach. This isn't that I have charata to begin with that I made the neder. This is, she didn't realize at the time that there were going to be these consequences, that the neighbors are going to be talking. And by the way, yesterday we had the case where we had Rabbi Bar Avuna telling somebody if there had been 10 people at the time to talk you out of it, would they have been able to do that? That's different. That was more of a hypothetical. Here what Rav Yechanan is saying about the neighbors is more realistic thing. The neighbors probably are talking, well, why did this mother offer her daughter to her? It's a very logical thing to assume that, yes, they must be talking.
members are always talking. Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, I'm real lay low. So the mother said, no, indeed, I didn't have that in mind. But sure, yes, absolutely, there's nothing there on that basis. There's an example of using a pop-up. Mm-hmm. Another example, the grandson, the son of the daughter of Rav Yanai Sava, Rav Yanai the elder, came in front of Rav Yanai Sava, Rav Yanai Rabba, it says on the side of you, whatever. So it may have been his own grandfather, to be Matir Neder. And Omalei, and Rav Yanai, the grandfather, told him, Ilu Hava Yadik, if you had known that you're making a Neder is going to cause the Poschen Pinchasach, that they are going to open up your notebook, and check out in what you're doing. Now, what does that mean? The Radan gives two possibilities what it means. Number one, when a person makes a neder, like he's acting like I'm a great chosid. I'm going with nimishurat adin. It's not enough for me that the Torah offered me things. I'm going and asking things on myself also. Well, that makes the Eibishter start looking. You know, is this person really such a chosid and a tzaddik because he makes himself out to be? And then the Eibishter starts judging you more seriously. Or that is the one explanation that Ram says. The Rosh says kind of the other way around. That we learned before, we're going to learn later on the Almud also, that it's a matter of rishus to make a neder. But on the contrary, when a person makes a neder, he's doing such a wicked act, that can also cause that the Eibishter starts checking in to more carefully to what he's doing. And then the Shittim of Kabbalah brings the third possibility. He says, the neder, it doesn't say anything about what the neder was over here, the neder may have been that he's not going to engage in business. Well, inevitably, somebody has to run his business for him. So that means somebody is going to have to go start going through his literal account books, actually, that he has there in his store or whatever, and start looking through them. And did you realize then that you're going to have people are going to be going through your bank accounts and through your checking, you know, through your checking register and whatever? Did you really consider that? If you had realized that, Mina Darter, would you have made a neder? And he said no, Bishaya, and he was not through him on that basis. So again, there's an example of using a pesa. Amar Rabba, Maikra, where's a pasuk that expresses this idea of what Rav Yanai said, that when you make a neder, Lamaila, they start checking into the notebooks on you. The pasuk says, V'acha nedorim levaker, after nedorim, after a person has made a neder, levaker, there's a checking out. They just start checking out and seeing what is this person, what are these persons might like. Now, so far we have two examples of a pesach over here. We have Rav Yochanan's example about the neighbors talking, and we have Rav Yanai's example about they're going to be looking after you in the basement Shabbat. So, as an Afal got the pasuk for Rav Yanai lay, now, even though Rav Yanai held that you can use such a thing as a Pesach, however, on non-Lekoskin and Lebaha, when a person comes now to a Chacham or to a basement, to be Matri Neder, we don't use such a Pesach. One, or any of a few examples that Gemara is going to give now. Why? Because those kinds of things, when you start telling a person that, look, the Beis Din Shamayla is going to be looking after you, the average person is not going to have, the Rosh explains, is not going to have the chutzpah to say, if in that case, then I don't have charata on it in the first place. So, you know, fine, let them check about me in Shamayla, I don't care. The average person is not going to say that. He's going to say, you know what, in that case, then I have to regret it. And maybe he doesn't really regret it. So therefore, you don't want to use such a strong thing as a pesach. And also, the Leit Paschen and Ba'ad Da'achar Nai. So similarly, we also don't use another kind of Pesach that another one of the Chachamim used. The Amr Rav Ba'bachana Amr Rav Yehonan. My Pesach Le'Rav Gamliel Ahu Sava. What Pesach did Rav Gamliel use for this old person? We had a story way back in Eruvin where Rav Gamliel was riding on his donkey. He finds a piece of bread there and tells a goy to take it. And then afterwards, somebody comes to be Matu Neder and Rav Gamliel gets off his donkey to sit down to be Matu Neder. What Pesach did he use? He used the pasuk also from Mishlei that goes as follows: Yesh boita kimad keres cherev. There's somebody who speaks, and it's like a stab of a sword. The loshen chachamim marzeh, but the loshen of chachamim is a healing. So what does that mean? He explained it. Kol boita, anybody who speaks, but boita the loshen levate means levate is chasayim. The Marshal points out that expression bitui is only ever used in the Torah in connection with swearing. Right. In connection with swearing. So therefore, call up boys to anybody who swears or makes a neder or whatever. Roy the doiker of the cherev deserves to be stabbed with a sword. I saw one explanation actually why if it's with a sword. One idea is what's one of the prototype examples in the Torah we find of somebody making a neder is Yaakov Avinu when he's running away from Esav, when he fears Esav and he's running away from him. So he makes a neder. Shmonani, et cetera, than the Vayidra Yaakov Nedelamer. So, fine, a person is in trouble, a person is in a difficult situation, and he makes a neder, that's fine, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but a person stam makes a neder, thinking like, look, I'm on the level of Yaakov Avinu, so you know what, Yaakov Avinu was saved from Esav's sword, Lav dafka, this person deserves to have the same kind of thing. But the Lashon of Chachamim is a healing, meaning, you know how you fix up the situation, go to a Chacham and Minach Neder. So you can't use that as a Pesach either for the same reason, because once you tell him the severe consequences, you make a Neder because you deserve to be stabbed with a sword, again, the same idea, that the person may say, you know what, I have Charata, even though he really doesn't. And another one, and nor do we use as a Pesach another example that we learned that one of Chachamim used, the Tanya of Nosenheimer, if somebody makes a neder, then it's as if he's building a bama. And when the person fulfills the neder, kilu makruv al korban, then it's as if he's bringing a korban on it. So what's the idea? What's the building a bama? The Ran explains we're talking about. We're talking during the time during Mishkan Shila and after the Bismikdash was built, when it's also to bring korbanos anywhere other than the Bismikdash. What happens? A person in a time like that makes a bama, thinking, you know what, I'm gonna do something extra. The Eivishter wants me to bring korbanos, so fine, I'll build a bama in my backyard and bring korban over there. And you don't realize that actually you think you're being thrilling and being better than what the Torah says, but actually being worse. You're doing an Issur Karet. We find throughout Sefer Melachim that the Pasuk keeps on criticizing throughout the generations over there that the Oda Om Nizat from Katrin Babamos, that most of the Malchi Yisrael were not able to break the people to have this habit of bringing Kovonis on Bamos all over the place. Because they all thought, you know what, it's a great thing. Why should we have to, why are we limiting the Eidosh's Shkina to one place? The Shkina is everywhere, therefore we should be able to bring Kovonis anywhere. And they didn't realize that it's a serious business, it's a major Avera. So the same thing, a person makes a neder, thinking, you know what, I'm gonna be frumer than the Torah. The Torah says certain things are offered to me. I'm gonna go beyond that and ask for even more things to myself. No, it's the equivalent of making a bummer. And then when he actually fulfills the neder, instead of going to make the neder, then it's like then it's like doing even worse and actually bring a turban on the bummer. There's a lot of different explanations on the start about the comparison between a bama. One thing is that later on McMurray is going to point out soon a lashon that says in connection with making the zodah, but he sets out linder a lashon of pasuk involving the word chodel, which means to cease from doing something. You also have a famous pasuk brought in the wedding mimer and other places. Chidlo l'chem mina adam asher neshama ba'achoy ki bameh nechshehu. I'll speak about meh el bama. So they also have a certain association between chidlo and a bama, between chadol, between what you shouldn't be doing. You shouldn't be making the dorim and building a bama.
So there is actually the
sicha in Chelet Sotech where the Rebbe analyzes what the Rambam talks about at the end of Tosafot Nedarim about when you should and shouldn't make a neder, where the Rambam brings in the Tanoda Kila Bama Bama, but he leaves off the Hamakaima Kila Vikra of Allah Korban, nor did he mention any of these various other things that we're mentioning in the Gemara about making a neder. So that explains at some length that the Rambam basically is distinguishing between making a neder of Isur, which is mostly what we're talking about over here, versus making a neder for Tzedakah or Korban or whatnot. The vart is that when you make one problem of making a bummer is, even let's say making the bummer itself is not such an issue, fine. I mean, it's only, you're not allowed to bring kavanah on a bummer, not necessarily, whatever points out that this, and not necessarily would there be an issur on making a bummer per se. You could be making a bummer for any number of reasons. It's just a pile of dirt. But the Rambam writes that it could be a michshol. So then that applies more to Nidre Isser rather than, and with Nidre Isser, what the Gemara is saying over here is rather than actually trying to be Makayim in the Nether, better you should go and be Makru Nether. On the other hand, if it's a Nether of Hektish or Tzedakah or what have you, then yes, that's different. Then you should go ahead and try to fulfill it. That's not like building a boss. Now we have no reason to make, well, in the Dharma of Tzedakah, we do. When you get a Mishaberach and Shul, I mean, we say, the Nether, Babashur, Shanabah, Bili Nether, so yeah, but still, yeah. Thank you. So if you say the header, it's not, but you still supposed to do the kind. You still have the mitzvah of most of petition, or even what you said. But okay, this way at least you avoid the serious issue of violating a header. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So the Gemara points out the Reisha. Now we have two parts of Rav Nachman's state. We have the part about making the neder, and we have the part about being the kind. So the Reisha Paschinon, we can use the first part of Rav Nachman's statement of the Pesach. We can tell a person who comes to be Matir Neder, you should know the fact that you made a Neder is like building a Bama. Because that's not going to be that building a Bama itself, again, I mean, there's not such a serious issue involved. It's not like telling him that is going to scare him so much that he's going to say, you know what, then in that case I have Harot, so when really you didn't. So therefore, fine, you can use that as a Pesach. The Sefer, what about the second part, that fulfilling your neder as opposed to being matir neder is like bringing a korban on a bama? Are you allowed to use elo? Are you allowed to use that as a pesach? Abaya amar paschinan, rava amar lo paschinan. So Abaya says yes, we can use that, or Abaya says yes, we can even use that second half as a pesach. There's a part about bringing a korban. Rava says no, because again, bringing a korban on a bama is a very serious avera. Again, the person may say, you know what, comparable to that, then yes, I have charata, when really in his heart he doesn't have charata, or he doesn't. We learned also yesterday, charata has to be that he regrets ever having made the neder in the first place. Not that until now he was fine with it, and now all of a sudden he has charata, because obviously every person who comes to not the neder has charata, now that's why he's coming. But like this, when you tell him that you should know fulfilling your neder is like bringing a korban on a bama, he may be scared into saying, you know what, then in that case I regret ever having made the neder, when really in his heart he doesn't think that way. And therefore you should use that as a pesach. Rav Kahana Masnil Lahashmaita Bahadim Mishnah. This is how Rav Kahana learns the discussion that everybody agrees you can use the part about the bama, it's machlokes whether you can use the part about the korban. Rav Tavyumi Masni Hachi, whereas Rav Tavyumi learns it the other way around. The Sefer Loi Paschinon, there's no question, everybody would agree that you cannot use the Sefer as a basis. You cannot use the Sefer, the part about it being like bringing the carbon. You definitely cannot use that as a Pesach, so that would be going too far. The Reisha, the question, the Machlokes between Abaya and Rava is, what about using the Reisha? Amas Abaya Amal Paschinon, Rava Amal Loi Paschinon. That Abaya is medical and said you can use the first part, and Rava said you can't. The Hilchotah, and bottom line, Halacha, Loi Paschinon, Loi Bereisha, Loi Besefer. You cannot use either of the parts of Rav Nachman's statement. His statement is a statement, it's an important thing to know, but you can't use it when a person is coming to be Matir Neder, you can't use it as a basis to be Matir. Another one, Loi Paschinon, Bahanami, the Shmuel. There's another thing you can't use as a Pesach, a word that Shmuel said. Yom HaShmuel, Atha Fishim HaKaimen, Nikir Rasha. Even when a person makes a neder, even if he then afterwards fulfills it, he's called a Rasha. Of course, if he breaks it, then he's called a Rasha. But even if he fulfills it, the fact that he made a neder when he shouldn't have in the first place makes him a Rasha.
Why is a Rasha
to fulfill the neder? Where the Pasuk expresses this idea. The Pasuk says, V'chisechta linder lo'yia v'chocheit. If you withhold yourself from making the darim, there won't be a sin in you. Meaning that you're better off not making the darim. First of all, I mean, the Gemara is not really going into it, but first of all, it's saying that if you withhold yourself from the darim, there won't be a chet in you, implies sort of a converse, but if you do make the darim, there will be a chet. Okay, but the Gemara is right. But yalis chodla chodla, but we make a zeta shava between the two places where it uses this shirish chodal, to withhold. So stop. And then you have a pasuk in Iyah, Shom Rishoyim Chodlu Roya. There in the grave, the Rishoyim is end their anger. They're no longer angry because they're dead. The point is, in other words, Marshal says, it's part of a whole soliloquy over there where Iyah is going on about, I wish I'd never been born, alibi, I was dead, you know, after we had all the Tzaddas and everything. They mentioned, you know, look at the grave, even the Rishayim over there are better off there than they are in life, you know. Anyway, the point is that by making this Zeta Shabbat, we see that when do they stop being Rishayim? When they're in the grave. When did the person not have chet in him? When he stops making the darim. So we see that comparison, that when a person is making a neder, even though he's fulfilling it, he's called a rasha.
When he stops making the darim, he's called
a darim? No, come on. Okay. No, that's not what I mean. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef, Afa Nan Nami Tanei. Now, in fact, we have a Mishnah, Uli Renor Masechta, that expresses the same idea, that the very act of making a neder is a thing of rishus. We learned in the first pedic. Kinidre Kshedim, like on the Chum, if somebody says I'm making a neder, like the Nedarim of Kshedim, of good Jews, then what he said doesn't count for anything, because good Jews don't make Nedarim, unless in case of trouble or whatever, yeah, as we talked about. Kinidre Rishoyim, neder of a Nazir, of a Korban of a Shul. But if he says that's the Nedarim of Rishoyim, then it can include a neder of Nazir, or a Korban, or a Shavua, because Rishoyim do those kinds of things. They fly off the handle and they do one of these things. So we see from that also that making a neder without a good reason is also is a thing of tradition. Okay, since we're talking about this whole idea that a very common cause of nedarim is that a person is angry, we had yesterday with some of the karotas, and now also with the shom rishayim called the roigas, so that brings the Gemara into a bit of a discussion now, a little piece of akata about anger. Omer Rav Shmuel Nachmeni, Omer Rav Yonason, kol hakoyes, anybody who gets angry, all kinds of Gehenim dominate him, have control over him. Different Mepharshim talk about anger, exactly what it sounds like. But a person gets angry. Yes, I mean, there is sometimes the appropriate kind of anger, but when you see people doing Averas and they get angry at them, but even then, I mean, you have the famous thing, later on, you're going to point out the thing about when a person gets angry, he forgets his learning. I mean, you have to put in the Torah, where Moshe Rabbeinu, no less, gets angry at people and then forgets something afterwards, right? Pretty much the same thing. Okay. I mean, I don't think you actually find the Shurish Tass anywhere in Chumash. I think you only find it in Nach. But yeah, okay. What do you mean all kinds of Gehenim dominate him? So the Ran says, because, as we're going to learn on Omer Beis, when a person gets angry, he makes him deny that there's an Eibishter in the world. And we know from Tanya the reason why, because when a person gets angry, somebody did something to him. It's like he's saying the Eibishter doesn't run the world, but the Eibishter is not, it didn't happen because the Eibishter made it happen. It happened just because, and then therefore Kovabeker brings on himself all kinds of Gehenim. Shanema, the pasuk says, we'll talk about them. I mean, again, there's different kinds of anger, but we're talking about that the anger can bring a person to these things. The Rosh says differently. The Rosh says that it means in a physical way. They're coming again and shouldered by in the sense that when a person gets angry, it's bad for his body, as if his body was suffering all the different torments of Gehenna.
Sounds like
fun. Yeah. Yeah, so I have to get it from somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Nope. Shenema, the truth is some of this stuff is more like what you read in Musa's part. I mean, Musa verse Siddur tends to be more about the bad of Averus versus the good of, okay, whatever. All right. Okay. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, v'hoseh kach milibecha, take away anger from your heart, v'haveh ra mitzarecha, and then you'll take away evil from your body, from your flesh. Ein ra, el gehenim. And the word ra over here means gehenim. Shenema kol poyel Hashem l'maneu, as it says, everything Hashem made, he made for his purposes. V'gam rasha l'yem ra, even the rasha for the day of evil. The rasha is made, and he ends up being a rasha, and he winds up in gehenim. We see that the word ra means gehenim. The loyoid, and not only that, el shatach toni is showed this way, but he ends up suffering from hemorrhoids. Person who gets angry. Shenema, as the pasuk says, V'nosen Hashem l'chol shom lev ragos, towards the end of the Tosafot, Tinki Salvei, there in Golos, the Eibishter will give you an angry heart, v'kilyin einayim, and then your eyes will waste away, like you're hoping for a better future, and it's not going to come. V'davein nefesh, and a disappointment of the soul, same idea. Ezo davesh mechala es einayim amadavet nefesh, so what kind of illness makes a person his eyes and his nefesh pine away, like he's constantly expecting things to get better and they never do. That's hemorrhoids. You're constantly thinking it's going to get better and it doesn't. There's in the Chutzit Diburim, by the way, it brings that Reb Nachum, one of the sons of the Mithil Rebbe, used to say over various Maimarim that he had heard from the older Chassidim who heard them in the early years of the Alter Rebbe. One time, the Alter Rebbe said a maimer on the Gemara over here, and he explained in the course of it that when we say Tachtonius Shotosboy, besides the simple meaning of it meaning hemorrhoids, it also means like the person gets partitioned in Tachtonius in the lower aspects of his life, instead of his reality being Ruchnius and being his neshama or whatever, his reality winds up being his goof and the other lowly things within himself. further on this pasuk about this about leiv ragos, about it, and the word ragos, by the way, has a double meaning kind of in Tanakh. In many places, the shoresh ragaz means to tremble. In Lashon Chachamim and in a few places in Tanakh, it means angry. So here, obviously, the Gemara is explaining leiv ragos in the sense of an angry heart. But now, in this next story over here, we're going to see if the story can actually be understood when we talk about the pasuk. It can actually be understood either way. Talking about anger or it's talking about trembling from fear. What? Yugaz Hashem Malach Yugaz Ra'amim, yeah, for example, means the nation trembled, doesn't mean the nation get angry. Yeah, so yeah, but on the other hand, you have the Yugaz Ra'am too, so it doesn't mean when the Eidosh trembles, you should remember the Rachmanis of Avram, you know, it means when he's angry. The Gemara tells, Ula b'meitzke la'arad Yisrael, Ula one time when he was going up to Eretz Yisrael, he used to travel back and forth from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, one time when he was going, it's flagolet train b'nei chayyot. Okay, so those cases when you can. In Ula's case in particular, we learned about this at the end of Pesukah, he used to go back and forth, and he would report what they're learning in Eretz Yisrael to report to the Chachamim in Babel, and vice versa.
That makes sense.
So, no, that's a valid reason, yeah. But whatever. Anyway. So one time when he's going to Eretz Yisrael, he's flavolet train b'nei chayzoi ba'adei. Two people from chayzoi came along with him. Usually we've learned for a few times in the Gemara about Beit Chayzoi, a place in nowadays in Iran where all the oil fields are. The Ran actually has it. The Ran actually explains a few lines from now that's Mechuza, the famous city of Mechuza in Babel that later Rava came from there, etc. Anyway, two people from chayzoi, Mechuza or whatever, went along with him. Ba'adei. On the trip, one of them got up and shechted the other one out of anger. He got angry at him and killed him. And then this one who just killed who killed the other one turns to Ula, Amalela Ula, yo, Zabi, did I do good? Amalei, so Ula tells him, ain't yet. Uprale Besashita, go open up the place of his neck where you shechted him. Now what's going on over here? Pashas, Ula was afraid that if I tell the guy, how you talking, what did you do? He's going to kill me also. So out of fear, he has to tell him yes. As a matter of fact, there's actually an interesting Tosfos in Sota. You have the famous story in Sota over there where Agrippa Samalach was reading from the Torah by Hakel. Today's Gimel Prokim, a Rambam is about Hakel. So Agrippa Samalach is reading over there by Hakel. He gets to the part that you're not allowed to set up king, Asher Loyachitah. He starts crying. He's not descended from born Jews, he's descended from Hordus. Everybody calls out to him, don't worry, Achinu Asher, you're a brother. And the Gemara says over there that was a terrible thing for them to do. That actually, because of that, this mitzvah was destroyed because they confident him. So they confident when you tell somebody you're doing wrong, it's okay, you're doing right. So Tosfos says, what about our Gemara over here? The difference is, Tosfos says, here, Ula felt his life is in danger. So therefore, that's different. In the case of Agrippa, no, the Pasha is not. The Pasha, the answer is that they told Agrippa, if they had kept quiet or if they told him, you know what, you're Taka right, you really shouldn't be thinking, okay, the Romans set you up, maybe you can't help it, but you shouldn't think that it's the right thing. Lots after. We find throughout Shasta, he was a very good king. He was very friendly to his people. Lots after they would have gotten in trouble. Yeah. Anyway. This Uprale Beit HaShchita is so the Ran says the idea is so that he'll die quicker. And there's a tremendous amount of discussion about this in Achronim. There's a tremendous discussion about this in Achronim and how he's talking. You know, every moment of life is precious. What do you mean? He's telling him, open up the wound and let him die even faster. But there's a good deal of discussion about it. Part of the idea is the guy's pretty much dead already anyway. So if anything, maybe in this case, he, and Ula's not actually doing anything. Sitz Eliezer, for example, one of the Achronim of the last 50 or 60 years, who talks a lot about a lot of medical issues, deals with this. He says it's different over here. Ula didn't actually do anything to cause the guy to die faster. He's telling this Ritzeah, go ahead and open up the Beit HaShchita. But it's not the same thing then. It's different. Whether if he could do it himself, that he wouldn't be allowed to do. But to say, that's different. And there's also an argument that Israel talks about that maybe since the guy is already on the verge of dying anyway, maybe in that case there isn't such an issue. You know, normally you say why is Shvichas Damim one of the three mitzvahs in the Yehorik Bal Yavar? Because the Gemara says in a few places, what's the logic? Well, you know, what makes you think your blood is redder, or you know, is better than his? But when he's dying anyway, then in a way, actually your life, your blood is better than his. But whatever, there's a lot of discussion about this. There is also, by the way, the question is also, these two people who were along there with Ullah, are they Jews or Goy? So one way of looking at it is, they were Jews, because the Gemara is going to say in a second that the Gemara is going to bring that Rabbi Yochanan wondered how could such a thing happen in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if it's Goyim, what do you mean? Goyim are murderers wherever they are. If it's in Eretz Yisrael, then it makes more sense, the question. On the other hand, so that's if we look at, well, you know what, let's learn the next few lines, and then we'll get back to that. He also made Rabbi Yochanan, when Ula came to Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, did I do right? Maybe I was being mechazet the hands of somebody who does it, doesn't aveira. I tell him you did the right thing. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan tells him, in this case, you didn't have a choice. You did it to save your own life. Now, katamar Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was wondering, how did this happen? You have the pasuk from the Teichacha that we just quoted. But nothing Hashem l'chal shom leiv ragos. It says the Eibushter will give you over there, meaning in galus. An angry heart. So the bubble, see, that's talking about a bubble. I taught them that in Eretz Yisrael, one person should get so angry at the other way he killed him. Amalei, and so Ula answers him, Ahu shaita lo yavrinin yavdana. At that point, we had not yet crossed the Yavdin. We were still in Evra Yavdin. Now, Evra Yavdin is, for certain purposes, considered part of Eretz Yisrael, but for certain purposes, not. The Ram brings over here, for example, that in fact, that the for example, you can't bring the Omer from it, or you can't bring the barley for the Omer from it, which actually is a bit of a controversial thing also. The Rebbe Eger refers to various Rashis that say that you can. But whatever it is, even if you can bring the Omer from there, the Kedusha of Eber Yarden is less than the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael proper. You find in that towards the end of Sefer Yeshua, when Reuben and God and Chatzi Menashe are going back home, they build a Mizbeach at banks of the Yarden, and everybody is all upset. They're talking about building a Mizbeach outside of the Mishkan. And they say to them, in the course of the discussion, they say, look, you know, if you think that the land you're living in is Tomei, then fine, leave it and come in and join us in Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, B'nai Reuven and B'nai God explain we built it as a monument so that we remember that we have a share in the Mizbeach and Shiloh, whatever. But anyway, the point is, you see that there's a difference between Eber Yarden and Eretz Yisrael proper. So how much of a difference there is? To a large extent, not. Shemitah is in effect in Eber Yarden just as much as, I mean, there are no Jews living in Eber Yarden nowadays, but if there were, Shemitah applies there just as much as Trumas and Maizmus apply there. Well, many mitzvahs apply as far as Jews, but there's still a certain difference in Kedusha. Anyway, the point is that according to that way of looking at it, if they were Jews, then Rabbi Yochanan is understanding again Leib Ragos as an angry heart. He's talking that one person should get, that one Yid should get so angry at the other one to kill him, and then Ula tells him it wasn't an Eretz Yisrael proper. Or the other way of looking at it, the Shittim HaKubetta says these two people may have been Goyim. What Rabbi Yochanan is wondering about is not how he's talking how one Goy killed another. That unfortunately happens everywhere. Just read the news every day. Rabbi Yochanan is wondering how Yitochan that Ula should have a Leib Ragos, should have a fearful heart from a Goy in Eretz Yisrael. How Yitochan that you're so scared of this Goy in Eretz Yisrael that you had to tell him you did the right thing when really you didn't. And Ula answered him, we weren't yet in Eretz Yisrael then. So we weren't yet in Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore I still had a Leib Ragos.
But this statement, the previous statement mentioned, Kusaris, they didn't mention it already.
But Eber Yarden is not quite at the level of Eretz Yisrael proper. Okay, somewhere in between, but whatever. It's enough that the Ragos could still, in either meaning, could still apply. Okay, continuing back on the topic of Kass, Amar Rava Baravona, Kol HaKoyis, if somebody who gets angry, I feel the Shechina ain't a Chashuva Kenegde. He doesn't even consider the Shechina important to him. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Rosha to go ba'apa by Yerusha, so the Rosha at the height of his anger doesn't speak out. Enelakim comes in Moshe. He says, all of his thoughts are, there's no God. So when a person gets that angry, then he thinks like there's no Eibishter, there's no Eibishter in the world. And again, that this fits with what the Alfred Abbey explains in Tanya over there in the Gerrit Kodesh Chafei, that if a person realizes, like it says over there, what David HaMelech realized when Shimi cursed him out, that how the king of Malikalo, the Eivishter, told him, not explicitly, Shimi's not a Nabi, but the Eivishter gave him the koyach to be able to curse and whatever, and if the Eivishter took away that koyach, nothing would happen. So therefore, a person has no business getting angry about what somebody else does to him, because not that person's doing it, it's the Eivishter's doing it. Rabbi Yemi Magifti Omar.
Even if you killed him.
No, we're not talking about that. Just, a person has a right to self-defense, right? Also, a person who gets angry forgets his learning and increases his foolishness. Shanema, the pasuk says, he casts the chek silim yanuach. Anger rests in the bosom of fools. So therefore, the Rambam explains the point is, therefore, that you see that a person who gets angry is a ksil, or a fool. And the Rosh explains that the word is that what happens is there's nothing left in his lap other than his anger. So his learning flies away, he forgets it, and all that's left is the anger. That's what we mean by Meshakeach Tamud, that he forgets his learning. And further it says, and then further the puzzle says, the fool spreads out his foolishness. So there we see the idea that he increases, he becomes more foolish by getting angry, that he spreads it out for everybody to see. And another one, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Biyadua Shavet Noisa Merubin Nitzchay Yosef. You also, such a person who gets angry, you know it for a fact that he has more Averis than Mitzvah. Tenema, Oval Chema Rav Pesha, as opposed to the person who has anger, has a lot of Averis. So, in that mimer of the Alter Rebbe that I was mentioning before, that Rav Nachman, the Mitzvah Rebbe's son, fell over, the Alter Rebbe explained, it says there in the Chutz Diburim, he explained it as Avinosim, the Rebbe, the Soyos of Avinosim, the Lashon Evos, like when the person's learning, like his learning becomes cruel, it becomes twisted into the wrong kind of thing. More than where his learning becomes a source for him, where it helps improve his midas and improve his connection with Eivishtet. Another thing about Kass, Amr of Adabar of Chanina, Yomolo lechotu Yisrael, if the Jewish people had not sinned, then all they would have been given is the five chumashim and the book of Yeshua. The five chumashim, we understand, that's the Torah that was given directly by the Eivishtet to Moshe. Why Yeshua? She'evta shalot Yisrael, because Yeshua is the description of Eretz Yisrael. You need to know that, because it kind of completes the story of the Torah in a sense. The Torah, throughout the Torah, you have the Eivishtet's promises that he's going to bring the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua finishes that up and then shows how they talk to conquer and settle there as well. And it lists the second half of the state of Yeshua, lists all the borders and the cities of each of the Shevatim, which is important information to know. So those six books would have been all we needed. What happened? Because if you look at most of the other books of Tanakh are the Eved just sending various Nevi'im to give Musa to the Jewish people, you got to do Tshuva or else. So if they hadn't been closer, they wouldn't have needed all that. Which, and a couple of them before I should ask the question, so what are you talking about? All the other books of Tanakh, and all the other 18 books, what about Tilim, what about Shir HaShirim, what about, for example, it says in Bava Basra that Moshe wrote Sefer Iyah, if you're telling me we wouldn't have needed any of those things. A couple of different answers they give. One is that maybe indeed one answer as far as Eo, one possibility is Eo might be more addressed to the Goyim. So like this, it became part of our Tanakh. But had it been, but Lo Chatu Yisrael, we wouldn't have needed Sefer Eo. It would have been to the Goyim to use. As far as the basic question, what about Tilim, Shir HaShirim, the rest of them, are not highest given, and what about also, for example, there's certain dinim that we learn from Sukkim and Nah. We talk about, we learned in Yevamos, that there are certain dinim about serving the Mitzvah and eating Truma that we learn from Sukkim and Yechezkel. There's dinim about Avelos that we also learn from Sukkim and Yechezkel and Yumiya and whatever. So what would we have done without all that? The Marat Chayef says very simple. If Lechotu Yisrael, we would be able to understand all of that stuff from within, the five promotions, what say for Yeshua. We wouldn't have needed the other Sfarim written down because we would be able to deduce it all ourselves. But we would have had Torah Shavah Peh, of course. We would have had to deduce it all from the six Sfarim that we were given. My timer. Now, what's the reason? How do we see that we got the other Sfarim of Tanakh because we misbehaved? The positive keep it roiv chokma, roiv kaf. With great chokma comes great anger. So therefore, in other words, we have the chokhmah that we have in all the other Sfarim and Tanakh What does it consist of? It consists of the Eibishter having to be angry at the Jewish people and giving us more psukim and more neviim and whatnot to get us to do the right thing.
General statement also, or just applies to that?
So it applies to we're saying that we're saying because the Eibishter had got angry at the Jewish people and had to send Nevi'im to give them Musa and all that's what caused that now we have the Chokhmah of the other part of the Tanakh.
General,
there's a more general statement also. Sometimes the smarter a person is, sometimes the more angry they get because they don't suffer fools easily. Okay, but that's the Gemara dashing it here in a different way. Interesting thing, by the way, that everyone once wrote in a letter to somebody. There's you know how there's in various places in Chumash and the Tanakh, there's big letters and small letters. The Beis of Bereshit, for example, the A of B Baram, et cetera. There's two different Masoretos on it. One is that you have a full set of them only in the Chumash of Chumash Torah. The other is that they're scattered throughout Tanakh. So that everyone pointed out in the letter that could depend on these two possibilities of a year. If we say with our Gemara that originally we would have only had the five Chumashim plus Sefer Yeshua, then there has to be a full set of big and small letters just in Chumash alone. Okay, Sefer Yeshua, as it happens, doesn't have it. Mashenkin, if you say that not, then there are various Midrashim that imply that even to begin with, we have to have all the 24 Sfarim, then in that case they can be scattered among all of them. Okay, so now we're finished with that side discussion about caste, and now back to the matter of Atzeres Nedarim. Amar Abasi, in this talking Lelekei Yisrael, we do not go and bother doing Atzeres Nedarim for somebody who uses Lelekei Yisrael when they make a neder. They're not another bit of a discussion of you. Usually you don't use Lelekei Yisrael in connection with a neder at all. So are we talking about a shvua over here? Which it could be. I mean, later on, the Rambam points out, later on in our perek, we're going to have him actually machlokes this Shana Basila, whether you're even able to be master of Shavua or not. If we know you can be master of Neder, lo yachol tvorei arachei mechelin, does that apply to Shavua? But Shammai says not. So what Rav Asi over here would argue, yes, Basila is saying you're able to be master of Shavua, but not lachachil, only be the Eben. So in this talking, Basin is not going to bother paying attention when somebody comes to be Master Neder, to be Master Shvua, where they use the Lekei Yisrael, Lachachila, they're not going to do that. But the other is when it's done, it's done. I've heard it before Rosh Hashanah, we'll talk about tomorrow. That's one possibility, and then the other possibility is there can be a difference between whether the person used the Eibishter name or not in the Shvua. So Rav Asi is saying that when they use the Eibishter name. Chutz mikonam ishti nenes li shagondres kisi v'sheikzesni, except for the following case, which actually we learn later on in the parak. Suppose that a person says a koinam that my wife should not have hanah for me because she stole my wallet v'sheikzesni because she hit my son. V'noida shaloi gondra v'shaloi yikatu, and then he finds out that she didn't steal it or she didn't hit him. Now, not too late. So one second. So actually, the Ran and the Rosh point out over here that wait a minute. In that case, well, of course you can be. Of course you don't even need Hatzara for that. That's an example of the Mishnah gives later on in the Perek for a nether toast, where you made the nether under a false impression. You thought that she stole it and she didn't. If you had known, then you wouldn't have made the nether. So obviously we're not talking about that. So the Ran talks out that the Ran talks about the idea of a couple of possibilities. One is that maybe Taka will not go to that. We're not go to that last part, the no to Shalei Tatu. That's fine. You know, we're talking about a case where he makes a koinam that I'm not going to let my wife have enough of me because she hit my son. Not that he finds out later that she didn't, but the koinam is still in effect. Or he brings from the Rashba that maybe that we're talking about where he's saying, you know what, yes, in the end I found out that she didn't, but I still want the netter to be in effect.
Not
whatever he wants, he mamid al daita. He's still firm in his. Yeah. So wait. So then the vote is that you have. So according to that, it would be it's a matter of because it's a matter of shalom bayis. So even if you use the Eibishter's name, you're going to be in this talking law. You're basically is going to give him an appointment and be matching at it. According to the Ram's explanation that we're talking about, according to the Ram's own explanation, that we all go to the part over here that Nodesh Legonva, et cetera, then you'd have to say that Ram said the reason why Miskokin lie, why Basin gives her appointment in this case, because you have both. Number one, it's a toast. And number two, it's a matter of Shalom Bayis. So even though we use the Eibishter's name, which on the face of it should make it a very serious nether, sure, whatever. Nevertheless, we'll make an exception. So an example, he's because if you use Hashem's name, that's a very serious thing.
It's not like you're raising Hashem's name.
No, it's not like you're raising Hashem's name. It's still like Bezoyim to the Eidishter. It's still Bezoyim to be mocked as a genetter. The person should have been more careful.
So we overlook all the things that we mentioned before and we let them understand.
No, because we let them understand. Now, actually, okay, so later on, towards the end of the Almud, when we get to the bottom line halacha about what bases you can use to be machaneder, so the Rambam points out that even that the Goyim in their times were very machmir on the dinim of Acharas Nedarim. We talked about this at the beginning of the Sefer, that in fact, in the times of the Goyim for hundreds of years, they didn't regularly even learn the Sefer Nedarim in the yeshivas because they didn't want people to know all these kinds of loopholes. So the Goyim were very machmir on the whole idea of Acharas Nedarim. One of the Rishonim, I believe it's either the Rashba or the Ritva, points out that it actually depends. There came a point when it's the other way around. In the times of the Gaonim, the problem was people were very commonly making the Dorim, so therefore the Gaonim would say, don't be Matar Neder so easily, because you don't want people to get careless with it. What was happening later on, in the time of the Rishonim, people were not only making the Dorim, but if you wouldn't be Matar, they were just going to be over on the Neder. Then it's worse off. So then he says, in that case, then fine, go ahead and be master the nether. At least you have the lesser of two evils. And therefore, so really, it's really kind of a case by case. It really has to be a kind of case by case basis to what extent Chachamim are master nether or not, depending on how careless you see that, how colorless you see that people are with making the darim, and how much of an issue there is that they're likely to violate it if you're not master it. So an example, Hahida Sori the Kameh de Ravasi, a woman came to Ravasi to be Matar Neder. He asked the Ramayin of Darta, what formula did you use when you made this Neder? And by the way, we've talked about before that a lot of times the Gemara in our Masechta kind of interchanges the terms Nedarim and Shavuot. So even though he says Ramayin of Darta, really, if we're talking about Shavuot over here, since we're talking about the Eivish's name, a Neder ordinarily doesn't involve the Eivish's name, Shavuot does. She says, "Velekei Yisrael, I swore using the Eved's name." Amalah, so he tells her, "Let me tell you something. Ina daret the moyi. If you had used the word moyi, shu kinui ba'alma, which is only a kinui, we learned in the first parak that nader the moyi. We learned two possibilities: either that moyi is an alteration of the word moimsa, which is the Aramaic word for shvura, or that moyi is a nickname for Moshe Rabbeinu. So it means I'm swearing similar to the shvura of Moshe Rabbeinu that he made to Yisrael." If you had used something which is only a kinui, then I would pay attention to you. I'd be master your nether. Hashtag Delena Dart for Moihi, but now since you didn't use a workaround like Moihi, Elabela K Yisrael, you actually used the Eivishter's name. Then I'm not going to bother with you. I'm not going to be master your nether or your shvur. You're just going to have to live with it and keep it. And then the Ran brings a girsa that he's saying that what he was saying like this: even if you would use moihi, I wouldn't be mafi your neder, because we said before, according to Rabbi Asi's understanding of the machlokas, the shana v'tilo, the Ran explains is that lachachila you should not be mafi your shvuah at all, no matter what lachshon is made in. The reason why, the way, there's a few reasons why a shvuah is more serious than a neder. One of them is an interesting thing that Sifri says: when a person makes a neder, it's like he's swearing using, it's the equivalent of swearing using life of the king. You make a neder, you say koinam, or karban, or what have you, it's like something that's related, something that has a shaykhah today. A shvuah is directly, a shvuah is like swearing using the king himself, which is a more serious thing. So according to this girsa that the Ran brings, Rav Asi is saying, even if it was a regular shvur, even if you had used moihi, I wouldn't be misdakit to you. I wouldn't be giving you an appointment to be matir neder. You used on a case, you're all the more so. You think I should be matir neder. Another example: Rav Kahana ikul levei Rav Yosef. Rav Kahana one time visited Rav Yosef's house. Amalei litzay marmidi, and Rav Yosef invited him, come taste something. Amalei, and Rav Kahana says, loy morei kula loy teimilei. No, by the master of everything, I mean Eivishter, I'm not going to taste anything. Amalei, so Rabbi Yosef answers back, Loi, more kula, loi ta'amta, loi ta'imaslai. No, if you're swearing by the Eivishter's name, then you're talking not going to taste. Meaning, because you used the nickname for the Eivishter, more kula, then therefore there's no way to be master your nether.
but it's not directly the
enemy. No, but it's close enough. In other words, it would invade the K Yisrael. It doesn't mean using necessarily one of the actual personal names of Hashem. Mori Kula is considered is sort of an equivalent to that, yes. The Gemara asks, Hanichal Rav Chana Dom Loi Mori Kula. Okay, I can understand what Rav Chana is saying. He's saying, no, by Mori Kula, I'm not going to eat. El Rav Yosef Amai Amal Loi Mori Kula. What does Rav Yosef mean when he answers back Loi Mori Kula? Does he mean that the Ran explains the Gemara thought maybe Rav Yosef is saying in that case then you don't want to eat by me? Then fine, I'm going to say a shvur that you're not going to eat by me, and I expect you to answer Omer, which is also a valid way of making shvur. But is that what Rav Yosef is doing? No. Hachi Hu Dekamalei. No. What Rav Yosef is telling him is like this: Loi Mori Kula Hu Dekamre. Didn't you just say more kula? You swore using the Ebishter's name? That's serious business. Therefore, you're talking not going to be able to take from my food because there's no way to be master such a nether. Okay, but the bottom line, well, that's according to what we said so far. However, the bottom line, Amar Rava Amar of Nachman, Hilchasa, the bottom line, Halacha, Poskin Bacharata, you can use Charata as a basis for Hataras Adarim, so not like the different opinion we said before that you doubt to need a Pesach. Can use Charata. Vinitz Kokin, Lelekei Yisrael, and also you can be Matan Nedu even if they use Lelekei Yisrael. And here's where the Ran has this discussion about the pros and cons of being Matan Nedu. One thing he brings, actually, we learned last week about the various permutations of a person holding a Sefer Torah or the Sefer Torah lying on a table in front of him or whatever, and he swears by it. We talk about when the neder is chal, when the neder is not chal. He brings them here from Rav Chaim Goin that Rav Chaim Goin, just one of the Goinim, that if a person swears by a Sefer Torah or by the Aseret HaDibros, you can't ever be master such a neder. So the Ran says, I don't agree with that. But we see from our Gemara over here that you can be master a neder involving other case. You know? So the same thing should apply to those things also. Again, he says that the various Gaonim were very master on this whole idea. And then, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that it kind of depends on the circumstance. Lachila, you should lachila. It depends, basically. If you see that people are part of the Nedarim, but on the other hand, they will at least be careful to keep the Nether once it's made, then maybe better you shouldn't be. You shouldn't be so quick to be Matu Nether. But if you see that if it's just an occasional thing, or if you see that if you're not Matu, they're just going to be over on it anyway, then yeah, go ahead and be Matu, because at least it's the lesser of two evils then. So we have the statement. We'll continue tomorrow with a story involving Rav Nachman and Hataras Nedarim. But one more thing, by the way, even though the Gemara says it here, Poskin Bacharata, in Shulchan Aruch, it brings the possibility that what you should do, because after all, you did have the Machloikas, whether you should use Charata or not, what you should do is take the Charata and sort of turn that into a Pesach. A lot of examples of that tomorrow, where you have, where the very fact the person regrets ever having made the nether, you can use that itself as a Pesach. Like if you had known that you're going to end up in a situation where you're regretting it, yeah. And then that way it's more kosher thing. Tomorrow, by the way, you're asking about Hataras Nedarim before Rosh Hashanah. We'll have a bit of discussion about that in the Gemara tomorrow.
Yeah.